And if you could take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Now, we are doing topical studies now as we're going through the book of Proverbs. And last week when we met together, we talked about the simple. And we talked about what it means to be a simple person. And we saw that being simple simply means inexperienced, young, naive. That's the idea of the simple when we're talking about it in light of the book of Proverbs. Tonight we're going to talk about the wise person. And obviously that's the entire purpose of the book of Proverbs. It's to take a young man or a young woman who is naive, who is simple, who is inexperienced in life, and it's to help them to have good, solid biblical wisdom. And so what I'd like to do tonight is I'd like to begin by looking at the qualities that we find in the book of Proverbs that tell us how to cultivate wisdom. And when we talk about wisdom, we need to understand that wisdom is something that thrives and it is rooted in a certain kind of soil or a certain kind of seed ground. In fact, it's interesting, when we go through the Gospels, we see that Christ used the example of a farmer who is planting seed. And when he's planting that seed falls on different kinds of soil, and those types of soil are representative of people's hearts. And some of the hearts were hard, and when the seed fell on that ground, it didn't settle into the ground, it wasn't able to germinate. In fact, it just got eaten up by the birds, and then it's gone. Another one falls into ground that it begins to germinate, but because that soil is really shallow, that seed is not able to take root, and as soon as the sun gets up, it just dries that plant up, and there's no moisture for those roots. It dies. Talks about another kind of soil where that seed falls, and it germinates, and it seems to be thriving, at least temporarily, but then all these thorns and thistles and these weeds, they come in, they choke out that plant, and it's not able to get to maturity because it's choked out. And then the last of those is the ground that's good. It's well-tilled, it's fertile, it's damp and moist, and when those seeds land on that soil, settles in there, it's able to germinate, it has enough moisture, and eventually it produces a wonderful harvest. Well, the point of the whole parable is that your heart has to be in a good position so that it's going to receive truth. And specifically, he's talking about the gospel. That ground has to be tilled and it has to be broken down. In fact, if you really want to put it this way, the heart has to be repentant in order for there to be faith in the gospel. And that's really kind of what's being illustrated. But when we talk about wisdom and godly wisdom, we need to understand that there are certain qualities that need to be in your life, and they need to be in my life, and they need to be in the lives of our children and our young people if we're going to be wise people. And it's interesting, I took the word wise and I took the word wisdom, and I searched the entire book of Proverbs. And you can imagine I probably looked at 50, 7500, I have no idea how many verses I read as I was going through my study there. And I tried to categorize and I tried to kind of put these into little categories. And so I think tonight our study will be very practical. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says this. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. God wants you and me to have his wisdom. And that's what Solomon is burdened about with his kids. He knows that God wants them to have wisdom, so he's trying to communicate to them, you need wisdom. So in order for us to have this wisdom, we need to have a heart that is cultivated and that is readied to receive God's wisdom. A place where that seed can settle in and can germinate and can produce life-changing, God-honoring wisdom in our hearts. So how can we do that? How can we have that kind of a heart? Well, first of all, I'm going to answer the question, number one, what is wisdom? I talked about this last week, but the definition that I gave you of wisdom had about four different aspects to it. The first aspect was this. Wisdom involves knowing what's right. If you don't know what's right, you won't be wise. You're going to be simple. You're going to be the naive person. You won't always get it wrong. Stop clocks right twice a day, right? It is, okay. So just because you're inexperienced doesn't mean you're always wrong. But the fact is that wisdom can only be wisdom if you have right thinking and information. You got to know what's right. Secondly, it involves the commitment to do what's right. And it's not just about knowing, oh, I should do this. It's not just about having the information in your heart and in your mind. But it's actually that willingness, that commitment to follow through and apply what you know to be right. The third aspect is this, is consistency. Now, nobody's perfect. We're not implying that you get to this place where you become sinlessly perfect and you stop sinning and you do everything right. That never happens. Yeah, I know when I was a kid, I used to look at my parents and I thought, oh man, mom and dad, they do everything right. And as I got a little older, so I realized that wasn't true. And then, you get to a certain stage where you're very critical of everything your mom and dad do. And then, you get a little older and you kind of revert back and you go, they had more right than I gave them credit for. So it's kind of funny how you go through that process. But the idea is consistency. So you know what's right, you're committed to doing it, and you do it over and over and over again. It's your pattern. It's your way of life. It's the way you think. It's what you do. It's what motivates you. The last thing is this. It involves proper motivation. You can take the book of Proverbs and you can study it with a topic like money, and I think you can learn a lot about how to handle money. And when you take that information about how to handle money, you can apply it in a very miserly way, and you can be, in some sense, applying the wisdom of Proverbs, but in another sense, you could say it's not godly because you're consumed with greed. Your motive is wrong. The fact is that wisdom does also have that final aspect that we are motivated in a godly manner. And so that's wisdom. Knowing what's right, doing it, a consistency, a proper motivation. So let's get into question number two. What are the factors that we find in the book of Proverbs that produce godly wisdom? And so let's go through. I have several here. The first one is this, the necessity of conversion. You and I cannot be godly wise if we aren't saved, if we don't know the Lord, if we're not a new creature in Christ. Now, that isn't to say that people who don't know the Lord will never do things that we can find in the book of Proverbs. The fact is that because of common grace, because we live in a world and we learn things, even a person who doesn't know the Lord can learn and pick up a lot of very practical wisdom. But you cannot have godly wisdom unless you're a new creature in Christ. Notice how many times in the book of Proverbs, in the first couple of chapters, he talks about the knowledge of God and our relationship to God and how that is an integral part of having wisdom. He says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, you know what's interesting? You take that verse and you go to the book of Romans, and it says this in Romans 3. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understandeth. There's none who seeketh after God. They've all together become unprofitable. There's no fear of God in their eyes. It's interesting what Paul writes in Romans chapter 3. How is it that a person who doesn't fear God can come to a place that they fear God? That they respect him, they reverence him, they honor him? It's through the new birth. God gives you a new nature. The way that you lived and the way that you thought before your salvation is changed by the power of the gospel and that new nature. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says pretty much the same thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, that little phrase, the knowledge of the holy, means knowing God. You want to have wisdom, you got to know God. Well, the fact is, you cannot know God in the sense that he's talking about if you're not a Christian. Another verse, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 and 8. It says this, the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of the just and preserveth the way of his what? His saints. If you're not a Christian, it puts you in a position where you cannot have godly wisdom. And then Proverbs 3:19. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Now when he says, let not them, what's he talking about? The wisdom that God used to found this planet. The wisdom that ordered everything in this universe. And so he's basically saying, if you want godly wisdom, you have to know the giver. You have to know God. Conversion is a necessity. If you're not a Christian, you can't have godly wisdom. You got to take it in order. When a person knows the Lord, it puts them in a position to have the wisdom that God gives. Number two, the necessity of a humble spirit. Proverbs 5:1 says this, my son, attend unto my wisdom. Bow thine ear unto my understanding. Now, when you think about bowing an ear, what is he talking about? Put your ear down and listen attentively. When he says that you need to attend to my wisdom, that means that you're focused on what he has to say, not what you think. That takes humility. You ever had somebody that, you know, you had to correct? I remember years ago I worked with inner city kids. And I loved the ministry. It was kind of like a bus ministry. And a lot of these kids had grown up with a dad. A lot of them didn't even grow up with their moms. They lived in really tough communities. And so at school, they had a lot of challenges with authority. At home, they had a lot of challenges with authority. And so we would run this program, and we'd have the kids come out, and we'd give them the gospel, and we'd try to work with them, and then we'd play games. And those games got wild. They got intense. And I remember, you know, you'd have a kid do something that wasn't good, and you had to correct them. And so you call them over, and you sit them down, and the kid, he's not used to somebody telling him what to do. And it was tough. There wasn't this humility like, sure, I'm going to listen to what you have to say. There was kind of this brashness like, hey, you know, I'm a tough guy. Leave me alone. I can do what I want to do. Well, if you don't have a humble spirit, you won't get wisdom. It's that simple. We come to another passage, Proverbs 11:2. He says this, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Now, it's interesting. Those two concepts are put side by side. Pride, shame. Lowly being humility, wisdom. If you want wisdom, you can't be proud. You can't think you got it all figured out. You got to be willing to humble yourself and bring yourself down. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Now, what does it mean to be well-advised? It means you listen to other people. It means when you got an idea before you just go out and do it, you sit down and you listen to some counsel. And somebody says, I wouldn't do that. That's going to be a bad decision. Here's what's going to happen. He'll be the consequence. Don't do that. Well, the person who's proud says, I got it all figured out. I'm just going to go ahead and do it. And what happens? They get into a contentious situation. The other person pulls it back, reins in their emotions. They listen to that counsel. And what happens? There's safety. There's wisdom. There's a resolve. Proverbs 24:6. By wise counsel, thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors, their safety. Now, this is a real interesting verse. Now, let's think about who is given the proverb. He's a king. He's not just a king. He's a real powerful king. He's a very wealthy king. He's a wise king. He owns a lot of property, and he's teaching somebody who's going to be the next king, at least, well, he was hoping would be the next king. Unfortunately, one of those boys ended up having a split kingdom. But the fact is that proverb is not written to a kid. It's not written to a novice. It's written to a warrior. It's written to a king. It's written to somebody that has gone through the whole system and they've risen to the place of power and preeminence. And what does he say? He says, by wise counsel make war, and in the multitude of counselors there's safety. Even if you're a king, even if you're a soldier and you manage a large group of people, before you step out and you go to battle, you better get advice. You better have some other people that can rein you in. In other words, you need humility. If someone's going to lead someone into battle, they need to be humble before they do it. The point is that you will not have wisdom if you're a proud person. Three, the necessity of a hunger for godly wisdom. You know, my kids, they've got like these ferocious appetites these days. The other day I was talking to Deanna and she's like, man, our food bills are going up because these kids are constantly like, Daddy, I'm hungry. I'm like, you just ate 20 minutes ago. Oh, hungry, Daddy, I'm going to die. I'm like, you're going to die. Well, guess what? When you're growing, you got to eat. When you're growing, you're hungry. I mean, man, some of these teenagers, they will eat and eat. My dad told the administration when I went to Pensacola, he was an administrator, and he was talking to the other guys, and he said, hey, you know what? I know I'm paying for my son's college, but I think I'm making money because you're feeding him and I'm not. That's pretty hilarious. But the fact is that when you're growing, you're hungry. If you're not eating, you don't grow. That's the way that it works. It works that way with your body, but it works that same way when it comes to this issue of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3 says this, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searcheth for her as for a hid treasure, then shalt thou find the way, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Notice the prerequisite for finding God's wisdom and understanding Him and having knowledge. It's crying after knowledge, lifting up your voice to understanding, seeking for it like it's a treasure that has tremendous value. That's hunger. You know, there's a lot of people that are complacent. I'm good. I don't need to learn. I've grown to the extent that I need to grow. I'm not saying this to harp on anybody, okay? But I'll tell you what, as a pastor, there are times that I'm disappointed. I'm saying it straight out. I'm disappointed how little interest people have in getting in their Bibles at church. I'm just saying it. Now, you guys are here on Wednesday night, but why is it that on Sunday morning this place is full, and Wednesday night there's like just this handful of people? The fact is, if you want to grow, you got to be under the ministry of the Word. The fact is that the people that come, they're the ones that probably don't need as much as those who don't. That's the sad reality of life. I can't tell you how many times as a pastor I experienced, especially when I was in Ghana. But you know, you continue to experience this. You'll know about a situation. You know, maybe you're counseling with somebody, you're trying to encourage them in the Lord. Maybe you're not in any kind of formal conversation, but you know there's a need, and you know that the person needs, you know, biblical counsel and wisdom. And there'll be a message, and you didn't pick that message for that person. That's what's coming up next, and they won't come. And you just sit down, and you're like, that message is exactly what that person needed at this particular time in their life. I tell you, the opposite is true on the other side. How many times when I'm reading my Bible, and I just read systematically, okay? I don't cherry pick. I mean, what I'm going to read in 3 months has been determined 200 years ago when somebody put their plan together, and I've been following it, okay? I'm following one of these old school plans where you read through the Bible in a year, and you read through the Old Testament, you read through the New Testament at the same time. This is something that, you know, people have been using for 150 or 200 years. I don't know how long. So what I'm going to read in 2 months, it's already been determined, okay? I can't tell you how many times there'll be a big time issue going on in my life. Or maybe it's something that I'm going to teach on or something that I'm studying. And the very passage that I read on that particular morning, it's exactly what I needed to hear. It's like, how in the world did you plan that? I didn't plan that. God did. So it's amazing. You know, folks, I just want to encourage you, be under the ministry of the Word. Read your Bible systematically and consistently, because that's how God feeds you. That's how you grow. That's how you mature. And when you neglect that, there will be things that are taught and things that you would have read that you will not get, and you won't get it because you just didn't take the time to do it. So I'm not trying to harp, okay? I'm just speaking as frankly as possible. I've seen in my own life how God ministers in that way. The fact is that we have to be hungry if we want to have wisdom. If we don't want it, we just won't get it. And there's so many things in life that are that way. We have the potential to do great things in so many areas, but we get held back because we're lazy. We get held back because we don't push through the resistance. We don't push through the challenges. And so notice what it says here in Proverbs 2, 3 to 5. Cry after knowledge, lift up your voice, seek her as wisdom. Look down in Proverbs 18, 15. Excuse me. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. In other words, wisdom is something you have to look for. Like a person who's mining out rubies or gold or silver or some other precious stone or metal, we have to go and get it. Next, the necessity of a right source for our worldview. Now, this is really important. There are many times that people are humble, they desire to learn, they're persistent to pursue knowledge, but they go to the wrong source. Okay? I tell you, it amazes me how many times you meet a person who's involved in some kind of cult group, and that person is always at their religious services. It's unreal. They're constantly listening to the teaching of their cult group. They're really into it. They're deep into it. They're absorbed into it. They're really internalizing what they're hearing. But what's sad is it's not true. It's false. It's like a little poison. It's got a degree of truth to it, but it's also got poison in it. How many times do you see a situation where you have a person that's going through an issue and you know what they need to hear, but instead of going to godly people to get godly counsel, they selectively pull out some people that will tell them what they want to hear? Now, I mean, we've all done it at some point, you know what I mean? It's sort of like, instead of really wanting to know what God says, it's, can I get this little group to give me my opinion poll of what I want to hear? Well, listen, there's 100 people out there, and you find the right 20, they'll all tell you what you want to hear, okay? You might find the right 80 that tell you what you want to hear. Find the 20 who'll tell you the truth. It's so important that the source of our worldview is shaped by God's word. Proverbs 4:10, listen to what it says. Hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Pause. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Now, why do I emphasize that? Because there's two paths. I mean, it's there. One path is God's path, and the other path is the world's path. And the bottom line is you can pick either one. And the one that you are associating, you know, when you get people who are walking down God's path and they're talking to you, they're sharpening you. They're challenging you. They're helping you to grow. They're helping you to mature. They're shaping your worldview. You get on the other side, you walk down that road, and you know what's normal? The wrong things. Because everything you're hearing is wrong. Everything these people are telling you is not true. Proverbs 9, 1-6. Wisdom hath builded her house. She's hewn out her seven pillars. She's killed her beasts and mingled her wine. She's furnished her table. We talked about this last week. She's set forth her maidens. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. Come, eat of my bread, drink of my wine, which I have mingled. But then listen to the next phrase. Forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding. The fact is that where we draw that source of instruction is going to determine what we ultimately will become. There's a verse in Proverbs. It's kind of not within this particular study, but there's a principle there. It says, don't be friends with an angry person so that you don't learn their ways. So let's say you got a really good friend who's just really contentious. I mean, every time they deal with authority in any level, whether it's at work, whether it's, you know, their homeowners association, it's the government, it don't matter, the police officers, it don't matter who it is. If it's authority, man, they're fighting them all the time. And every time you have a conversation, man, you won't believe what this guy said to me. You won't believe what this guy did. And you know, it's just this constant flow, and you're constantly hearing it. And you know what's amazing? It's how you start thinking. You know, it's just how you start thinking. I mean, you got a person that has an ungodly worldview, and then may not even be that they're thinking, oh, I want to change how you think. They're just telling you what they think. It's shaping your worldview. We've got to find the right source for our worldview. Next, the necessity of time. Proverbs 19:20 says this, hear counsel and receive instruction. This is interesting. That thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. You know, wisdom is kind of like investing. You know, when you are young, you don't have very much money, and so what most people do is they don't save anything because they're constantly spending it on what they need. And then as they get older, they, you know, one day they wake up and they say, I don't think I'll ever be able to retire because I've not saved anything. But you have other people who they can't save much, but they develop the discipline of saving. Instead of buying that thing that their friend just bought, they say, no, I don't need that. I need to save that for later. And they make that conscientious decision over and over and over and over and over again. And after doing that for 30, 40, or 50 years, all of a sudden, there's a huge difference between them and their friend. But the fact is that when you're putting that money aside, it pinches you a little bit. That's something you wanted to get. And the people around you got it, but you didn't get it because you needed to save that. The fact is that you're investing now, but you won't actually experience the blessing and benefit of it for a period of time. And that's why a lot of people don't do it, because they don't have the foresight to look ahead. The fact, though, is that wisdom is something that we have to work at now, and over years and over time, God begins to shape us and begins to mold us and he begins to change us to become more and more like him and to think the way that he says is right. Wisdom takes time. All the situations that we deal with, the good and the bad, they are the means that God uses to knock off those rough edges. And to shape us and to mold us and to change how we think about things. But that takes time. You don't become a mature, wise person the day you get saved. You don't become a mature, wise person, you know, just a couple years after you've purposed, I'm going to do this. It takes time. It takes years. Next, the necessity of a willingness to change. This is very, very important. And I think that this kind of is a little bit connected to this issue of humility. In Proverbs 16:23, it says, "The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips." It's kind of an interesting statement. His heart teaches his mouth. Well, what it basically is saying is this. Your mouth wants to say something, and your heart tells you you better not. Is that simple? Okay. Your heart, your head, wisdom says you want to say it, but you better not. And what does that mean? That means you got to change. You have to be willing to let God change you. You got to be willing to make the changes. Proverbs 17:10 says, "Reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool." You know, wise people have to get rebuked from time to time. And when a wise person's rebuked, he changes. You know, we'll never get to the place where somebody won't have to come and say, "Hey, I need to talk to you about something. You said something the other day, and I'm kind of concerned about it, and I was wondering if we could clear this matter up. You know, the other day you did something, and I've been thinking about it, and it's kind of bothered me, and I want to talk to you about it." Just because you're wise doesn't mean you never have those conversations. You absolutely will. And a wise person is willing to listen and to say, "You know what? I shouldn't have said that. That was wrong. No, I shouldn't have done it that way. Yeah, I didn't think that through." And we change. It's part of humility. The last thing is this: the necessity of continuing to learn rather than stagnating. Proverbs 9:9, "Give instruction to a wise man, he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning." Proverbs 10:8, "The wise in heart will receive commandments. A prating fool shall fall." Those verses tell me that you never arrive. Till the day you die, you will continue to learn. You will continue to grow. You will continue to change. You will continue to make necessary adjustments. If you want to be a wise person, you cannot stagnate. You have to continue to learn. You have to continue to grow. You think about somebody that's involved in the technology world. Well, if you decide you don't want to learn anymore, your job's going to get, it ain't going to exist in a couple of years. It just that's how it is. You have to continue to learn. You have to continue to upgrade. You know, it's interesting. I think it was Billy. He laughed at me one day. He's like, "Why in the world are you using 2003 Windows?" I don't know. I never changed it. He's like, "That's kind of like a security risk right there." I was like, "Well, that's what I got when I was in college." He's like, "Well, college was a long time ago." It's true. Got to continue to learn. Continue to grow. There is one more I forgot to mention. The necessity of trusting God's providence. Proverbs 21, verse 30 says this: "There's no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. Safety is of the Lord." Proverbs 13:20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Companion of fools shall be destroyed." The bottom line is, folks, we can plan, we can make decisions, we can try to figure it all out, but at the end of the day, God in heaven is the one who determines what happens and what doesn't. And so when we are going to be wise, we have to learn to trust God's providence. God is the one who preserves. God's the one who lifts up. God's the one who puts down. God's the one who gives safety. And so wise people have to do it. Question 3, how do you have a heart that's ready for wisdom? I'm going to just mention these quickly. Are you born again? Do you realize your limitations? Are you motivated to learn? Are you seeking the contents of your worldview from godly sources? Are you patient as God molds you? Do you think that you've arrived? Basically, what I did is I took each of those necessities and I put it in a question. May the Lord help us to be people who have hearts that are ready to receive wisdom. This message isn't just for our teens. It's for all of us. Let's bow our hearts together in prayer, please. Father, help us to be wise people, from our young people all the way up to our seniors. May we be people whose lives are saturated with godly wisdom, practical, consistent, properly motivated. Help us to be lovers of you. I pray that you'd help us to apply very diligently what we've learned tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.